Thank you. Be seated. Court is ready to hear oral argument from petitioner and Railroad Commission versus Torch.
May it please the court, Ms. Priscilla and Kubanak and Mr. William S. Osborne will hear argument from the petitioner. Petitioner deserves 6 minutes for rebuttal. Ms. Kubanak will have spoken in the first 10 minutes. Ms. Kubanak will also present the rebuttal.
May it please the court. This case concerns the decision of the Texas Railroad Commission that the Holden Well, drilled by Goodrich Oil Company, is a legally located well in the state of Texas. The inquiry for this court is but one. Did the commission set forth a proper legal basis in its final order when it determined that the Holden Well was a legal well? The Court of Appeals looked at the final order of the commission and determined that there were no express findings on the prevention of waste and the prevention of confiscation, the commission's primary statutory duty. Absent finding express findings and conclusions on waste and confiscation, the Court of Appeals concluded that the final order rested on grounds solely unrelated to these factors. The Court of Appeals erred for two reasons. When the commission was called upon to determine the legality of the Holden Well, it inherently, by virtue of its statutory authority, applied the principles of waste and confiscation. The second reason that the Court of Appeals erred is that when the commission looked at the issue of notice, the commission acted upon a proper statutory basis. Notice is a statutory factor upon which the commission may act in this fact situation. The notice issue is the reason that this case is important to the Railroad Commission. What the commission was called upon to do was to determine the legality of a well located in the state of Texas. This court has long recognized that that question is within the exclusive domain of the Railroad Commission. The commission looked at the Holden Well, looked at the facts surrounding that well, and it was called upon to determine under what rules that well had been drilled. And in looking at the rules under which the well had been drilled, the commission looked at whether the well was a legal well. This story came about when Kilroy Oil Company initially drilled into the Bammel North Field in Harris County, drilling two wells under statewide rules. Statewide rules are the rules of the commission that set forth the rules for drilling of wells in Texas. Statewide Rule 37, spoken to by this court on many occasions historically, is the rule that sets forth minimum spacing and density for wells drilled in Texas. In some situations, the commission may adopt special field rules for the drilling of wells. It is undisputed that courts have recognized that Statewide Rule 37 and special field rules adopted in a field are adopted by the commission for the prevention of waste and confiscation.
Under what circumstances might the rules for the entire field as it currently exists be amended?
When there are changed circumstances or a need for a different type of formula for development of the field.
So it wouldn't be necessarily grounds for amending the rules for the entire field that one well is operating under or was drilled under temporary rules, one under statewide rules and one under temporary field rules?
No, Your Honor, it really would not. The commission has rules in adoption for development and production of wells primarily to prevent waste and confiscation. If there was a reason why that one well was necessary to prevent waste or confiscation, that's unique to that well.
Wouldn't waste or confiscation be implicated by the fact that there's one well in this field operating under different spacing requirements than the others?
Well, confiscation may definitely come into play. In this situation, Goodrich drilled the Holden Well, and that is its exercising its opportunity to recover its fair share of the hydrocarbons in the reservoir. That's vested property rights that Goodrich as an operator in the field has. And it has a right to produce its hydrocarbons. That's its correlative right. So if it's not producing those hydrocarbons, there would be confiscation. So the commission in this case would want to have that well in order to prevent confiscation. It could come about in that way.
Ms. Humanak, the notice, the opportunity to be heard on an issue and notice is one of the issues here. But it seems to me one of the issues, Goodrich didn't have simply the opportunity to be heard on whether or not the different spacing requirements of the temporary rules was necessary, whether they could have lost that hearing or been granted that hearing. It seems to me the underlying issue here is having determined that Goodrich didn't have notice, did the commission have the authority to determine that the temporary rules didn't apply merely due to lack of notice?
Yes.
It seems to me the argument is that the commission can set spacing and temporary rules based on this waste and stuff. Goodrich didn't have the opportunity to be heard on that issue.
Right.
But when the commission decided Goodrich didn't need to comply with those temporary rules, the commission did not then reconduct the hearing. It simply said those rules don't apply to Goodrich. And Torch is now saying, but wait a minute, we don't disagree that Goodrich ought to have an opportunity to be heard on the issue, but the commission didn't follow through and have this hearing. There's not been a hearing on the issue of whether or not temporary rules ought to apply to this field. There's simply been a kind of an order that Goodrich doesn't have to comply regardless of what the facts about the underlying waste would be.
You are correct that the primary focus of the commission's final order was on the basis of notice, and what the commission determined is due to the lack of notice to Goodrich to which it was entitled to receive, Goodrich would not be bound by those rules. You are correct that Goodrich never had an opportunity to appear at the temporary field rule hearing because they did not have notice.
Following up to that, is it your position that as from here on, henceforth, that regardless of what the commission does in terms of setting statewide rules or temporary rules, any driller who drills can come to the commission and establish lack of notice and then be grandfathered in under the rules pre-existing the drilling of the well?
No, because I think finality of orders on field rules is too important to the commission to get into granting the kind of relief they did to Goodrich on a normal basis. I think the Goodrich is a unique circumstance because of the equities surrounding how that well came about. And the most important determination by the commission is that Goodrich was entitled to notice. So I think as a normal procedure, when operators drill into a field in Texas, they are bound by the rules in existence for that field at the time that they drill.
But if they can establish before the commission lack of notice, then the commission is free on a case-by-case basis to determine whether or not they'll be bound by those rules.
I don't think the commission is free to do that. I think the commission has statutory authority to do that in 85.205. That's the section of the Natural Resources Code that provides that the commission may only adopt rules pertaining to waste or confiscation if there's been proper notice as provided by law. So I think that section 85.205 provides the correlation between notice and the prevention of waste and confiscation. So it's not that the commission is free to do that, it's that the commission has the statutory authority in this fact situation to go back and find that the rules are not applicable to Goodrich as an operator who was entitled to notice, did not get such notice, and was prejudiced by that notice by drilling a well at a legal location.
What's the appropriate standard of review for this court in reviewing that determination?
I think the commission, what the court needs to look at is the evidence that the commission considered and whether there was substantial evidence before the commission for the commission to determine that Goodrich was entitled to notice, did not have actual notice, and based on that notice, in good faith, drilled a well at a legal location.
So I'm unclear whether the commission's position is there need to be findings of waste and confiscation.
I can tell you it's our position that this final order is acceptable in the fashion in which it's drafted, expressing findings and conclusions on the basis of notice. That's for two reasons. One reason is the statutory factor that we discussed, that I discussed with Justice Enoch. The second reason is that by the commission determining which wells are applicable to the Goodrich Holdings well, inherently it's forced to apply the principles of waste and confiscation.
So I take it that argument then implies that never in a spacing case does the commission have to make findings on waste or confiscation.
In a normal granting of a rule of a permit under regular rules, the commission does not make express findings of waste or confiscation. If an operator walks into the commission today and applies for a regular permit to drill a well at a regular location, the commission has not made express findings of fact on waste and confiscation. And that's because this court recognizes that Rule 37, the very adoption of that rule, is founded on those principles. So there's no need for an express finding on those two principles.
In any case, that's your position. The commission's position is we don't have to do it in any case.
No, not in any case.
In any spacing case.
It would depend on the circumstances. In a case like this, where notice was the lack of notice is the basis upon which the commission determined the well to be legal, the commission would not be required to have express findings of fact or conclusions of law on waste or confiscation. There's far too many cases that come to the commission that involve the majority of the case is production, engineering, and geology information. And in those cases where the bulk and the focus of the commission is on technical information, then I think express findings of fact and conclusions of law and waste or confiscation would be necessary in that order.
Does the commission have any role in determining who is entitled to notice?
Yes. Three bases for that. One is Section 85.205, which is the section of the Texas Natural Resources Code that provides they can only adopt rules and orders based on waste and confiscation by giving proper notice and an opportunity for hearing. The second, in this fact situation, statewide
rule. My question is, if you are urging adoption of field rules, how do you find out who is entitled to?
The operator is responsible for providing that information to the commission. Statewide Rule 43, Section B, requires that if an operator is applying for special field rules in a field, it must provide a list of the operators that have leases adjacent to the tract on which the discovery well is located. And it must also provide a list of the names of owners of unleased acreage, so that it's
right.
A landowner.
And where is that information?
That information, the operator is responsible for obtaining that information. In courthouse records, lease records of files, in some situations, operators may know simply by the drilling that's going on in a field. They provide that information to the commission, and based on that information, the commission sends out notice for a temporary or special field.
And the commission doesn't have that information.
No. It does not have that information. In some situations, Justice Cornyn asked about an amendment of a special field rule or amendment of rule. In that situation, the commission may have a list of operators that are presently operating in a field, and the commission would notice them.
Which commission rule requires that notice?
A statewide Rule 43, and that's cited in one of the state's briefs, Your Honor.
How has the commission historically construed the word tract? Is it construed just to mean the lease, or is it construed to mean the pool? Acreage.
I don't know that the commission itself has ever addressed it as far as interpreting statewide Rule 43 and brought that to a case before this court.
Do you know what the
question
has been?
The staff advised the commission that they would have looked at tract and considered the discovery tract to be the original tract filed by Kilroy Oil Company when it first drilled its first well under statewide rule. That, as you know from the record, was a tract of about 140 acres. Goodrich's leasehold did not touch that tract. The commission was persuaded by the fact that prior to requesting special field rules, Kilroy filed of record in Harris County a pooled unit for the well. And that pooled unit provided that there would be 673 acres. Goodrich did touch that acreage.
Any other questions? Thank you, Kelly. How much time is remaining for petition?
With the court's questioning, their time is 10 minutes.
A lot. 2 minutes for Goodrich.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, William Osborne, counsel for Goodrich Oil Company. Justice Enoch, I'll address your question. You ask, can any driller come in later? And, sir, I would answer that no, only one who was materially affected at the time of the application. This Court spoke to that in the Grayford case, a field rule case where it said that materially affected parties have a right to be heard at the Railroad Commission in that kind of proceeding. So, sir, for instance, had that driller had another well completed in the same horizon but across the highway, for instance, not adjacent to the applicant's tract, Statewide Rule 43 would appear to say that you don't have to give that operator notice because he's not adjacent, but he would have been materially affected. He would have had production from the same horizon. He would have been governed by the rules. Were that the case, then yes. We don't have those facts. We had a Form W-1 application on file to drill our well at the time of the field hearing. The commission said that plus some personal notice is enough.
Why weren't you on constructive notice of this hearing, as the respondent argues, by virtue of the fact that you did have your application on file?
Why weren't we on constructive notice of the hearing?
Yes.
The commission does not publish notices of these hearings in the why weren't we on constructive notice? Because we had a W-1 on file. Do you mean, are you referring?
Well, I'm just trying to ask you about part of the argument in respondent's brief, that you were charged with this matter.
Are you referring to the argument that you were charged with it because the law firm was representing both the field rule applicant and Goodrich?
Well, that'll do for one.
All right.
There's several arguments.
Counsel for Torch asserts that the law firm which represented the applicant for the field rules was at the same time engaged in seeking to obtain the Form W-1 for Goodrich and said that there should be a constructive or an imputed notice on an agency theory, citing some cases. We would answer two things to that. The cases cited, as Goodrich reads them, do not support a theory that different clients of a law firm are charged with knowledge of what the other is doing because of the employment relationship, and second, that it's a two-way street, that if you were to find that there was that kind of constructive knowledge, that we should have been aware of what they were doing, we would say likewise, they should have been aware of what we were doing. We put $1 million into this hole in the ground. It's illegal, if the Court of Appeals opinion is sustained.
Any other questions? Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
The Court is ready to hear arguments from the respondent.
May it please the Court, Mr. Glenn E. Johnson will present an argument for the respondent.
May it please the Court, this Court should affirm the Court of Appeals decision because the Railroad Commission issued an order that established for a single field two different sets of field rules. One that applied to my client, Torch Operating Company, and one that applied to Goodrich Oil Company. This is discrimination. This is unfair and should be reversed. Now, the commission is between a rock and a hard place in this case. At oral argument before the Court of Appeals, the commission conceded that this case did not involve waste. They now deny that fact, say that this case does involve the issue of waste and that in fact, on page 17 of the brief, the underlying purpose for the Commission's action in this matter is and must always be the prevention of waste and protection of parental rights. Yet they concede that the order in this case that the Commission issued does not mention waste or protection of parental rights at all.
If you snuck into the Commission and decided that you tried to pull a fast one and not give people notice and you pulled it off, are they just out of luck?
If Goodrich was entitled to notice, which we deny, no. They do not necessarily have a right to this well.
Well, they're just out of luck.
No, they have a procedure called an exception to statewide Rule 37, which is an exception to the field rules. They can come in and apply for the well permit. In fact, did so. The third exhibit that I've handed you shows that after all this, after the permit field rule hearing, they filed, Goodrich Oil Company filed on November 15, 1991, a Form W-1, which is an application for a permit for the drill well. It requires the applicant, the operator, to notify the commission what the field rules were. You have to know what the rules are in order to get a permit for the commission. The permit that Goodrich filed, or the application they filed, second part of your answer is weight and relative rights is important, and the commission has got to consider that. The commission sees in their brief that they've got to consider that. So it may not be necessarily true that Goodrich is entitled to the well, even though they were entitled to notice that was true.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, your position has to be that even if there was skullduggery here, you snuck in there and you tried to put it over on them and you did. There's just nothing they can do.
No, sir.
What can they do about it?
They could file, as they did, and withdrew an application for a permit for their road.
And what's the difference between granting that and doing what was done here?
Because an exception to statewide Rule 37 is specifically involved in a question of whether or not the well is necessary to prevent waste or protect relative rights.
Which you say they can't prove here, so they're out.
Well,
it seems to me they're out of luck.
We've never tried that. I don't know if they can prove it or not. There are certainly some arguments that they can't, that may make it difficult to prove.
Your position is they can't.
My position is that they can.
Cannot.
I think there are some strong arguments that show that they cannot. But they didn't even try. They withdrew that. Now,
so are you saying that the Railroad Commission found that Goodrich was entitled to notice?
No.
You're saying, first, that that's an erroneous finding based on the record, and we can review that. But secondly, it's irrelevant anyway?
Well, the Commission found that they were not entitled to notice back at the temporary field rule hearing because, as has been noted, the Commission has to know whether or not the people that are before it are all the people that are required. Temporary field rule hearing back in May of 1990, the commission found, as a matter of fact, a proper notice of the hearing was given to all persons entitled to notice at least 10 days prior to the hearing. They considered traps. Okay. Then they've either changed the interpretation of their statewide Rule 43 or are saying that there's some sort of fraud. There's no findings of any fraud that has been committed on the commission. So it leads me to the conclusion that they have engaged in rulemaking, which is one of my cross points, that they've now reinterpreted their Rule 43 retroactively to now say that Goodrich should have been entitled to notice, even though they found back in 1990 and concluded as a matter of law that Goodrich was not entitled to notice because they weren't an adjacent tract owner.
Now, but in that first order, they didn't adjudicate that issue.
Did they? Yes, sir, they did. They adjudicated.
I mean, it was argued before them? And
yes, yes, sir. That is a...
Who argued? Somebody argued.
The Kilroy, the predecessor to my client, was asking for field rule hearings. And the problem with temporary field rule hearings is you don't know how big the field is. You drill a well, it could be 10 acres, it could be 10,000 acres. So the commission has adopted a bright line test. You look at the discovery tract, and anybody that's adjacent to that discovery tract gets notice. That discovery tract could be a section or it could be 10 acres. But the commission's rule, 43, says anybody adjacent to it is entitled to notice. And so at temporary field rule hearings, you put on evidence as to what discovery tract is, say we've notified all these people, and the commission then finds that all the people that are entitled to notice have received notice, and that the commission has done all things necessary to make that order.
My question, though, is was there anybody at that hearing arguing, no, there's some other people here that should get noticed because of this?
No, sir, there usually is not. It's
well, was there here?
There
wasn't
was,
here.
Pardon?
There wasn't in this case.
No, sir.
Arguing.
And the other, one result that might, one alternative would be to hold the hearing, which is what was done in this case. A permanent field rule hearing was held. Goodrich participated in that hearing. And the commission found that what it had done at the temporary field rule hearing was appropriate. They adopted those temporary rules as permanent, canceled the temporary rules. Then we proceeded on. Then Goodrich filed their complaint, said we didn't get notice of the temporary field rule hearing.
Mr. Johnson, in asking us to affirm the Court of Appeals opinion, that would remand the case to the Railroad Commission for a contested case hearing, at which you say the appropriate recourse would be for your adversary to seek an exception to Rule 37?
I think that they cannot prove, they need to put on a Rule 37 type case.
And you presently contend that they can't make the showing required.
Actually, their counsel at the hearing suggested that.
And if they can't, didn't they get a lawful permit to drill this well?
No, sir.
Sink $1 million in this hole?
No, sir. The first chart is the 4W1 they filed. They filed it made it on November 15, 1990. Field rule hearing order was issued in June of 1990. As I pointed out before, the operator has gotten to advise the commission of what the rules are. You've got to go look them up. The second chart is the gas proration schedule, July of 1990. It shows what the rules are. It sets forth that it requires 1,867 feet between lease line. It requires 640 acres. It even says when the temporary field rule hearing was held. And when the order was issued, the testimony of the commission was the agent for Goodrich didn't even check, even though they had counsel in Austin to do this sort of job, they did not check to see what the rules were. They just assumed they were statewide.
What's the gas proration schedule? Which property is this for? The one that you got in our exhibit? What property does the gas proration schedule cover? What well?
Well, it covers all operators that have wells in that field. It's published for every gas field in the state every month and shows who the operator is, who the well is.
So this is for the Bammel field.
Right. And this is one page of the exploration schedule. This happens to be in the schedule that was published the month after the hearing. It was published each month, July, August, September, October, November. Then they prepared their application erroneously. They said it was 467 feet and only needed 40 acres. Their well complied with those spacing standards. The commission approved it.
But you're saying the temporary rules had already been adopted at that point?
Yes, ma'am. They had been adopted in June of 1990, and the permit application on which this well was drilled by Goodrich was filed in November. They did not do, they're not damaged by the temporary field rule hearing. They're damaged by their own filing, which was erroneous. And the filing requires that they certify that the information data of this application is truly complete, to the best of my knowledge.
And what's the penalty for that?
I think that's something the commission ought to consider on remand, if this case gets back to it. They filed an erroneous plea, and so far have not been penalized.
There's an assertion in the brief that your client knew of a competitive situation, or your predecessor knew of a competitive situation at the time the temporary field rules were applied for. Is that accurate?
We have no knowledge of that. That was a testimony from Goodrich. Even if that is true, that's an irrelevant fact, because the field rules don't deal with whether you know somebody's out there. It's like notice in a zoning case. You may know that somebody's thinking about buying some property, but the zoning statutes tell you who you have to give notice to. So many owners within so many feet of a property that's be rezoned. It does not require you to give notice or go search the deed records to go find people that aren't adjacent to your discovery tract.
Okay, Mr. Johnson, is there any, I'm a little bit confused about this. Goodrich's property came within the property you were attempting to prohibit them from drilling in by the new temporary rules. Your argument is that regardless, you had no duty to send notice to them because based on the allowables under the statewide rule, they weren't adjacent to you.
Yeah. Their property was not adjacent, pursuant to the statewide rule 43, their property that they owned at the time of the temporary field rule hearing was not adjacent to the 140-acre discovery tract. Therefore, they were not entitled to receive notice. We didn't have any knowledge, necessarily would have any knowledge of anybody beyond our tract. We're only required by the commission's rule to advise the commission, and we, I'm talking about our predecessor, Kilroy, Torch came into this situation in the summer of 91. Kilroy filed of record all the names of the people that were adjacent to their discovery tract. The commission reviewed that data, reviewed their map, made a finding. They had to have looked at evidence to make the finding that all the people that were entitled to notice for the temporary field rule hearing had in fact been given notice, and that they concluded as a matter of law that the commission has done everything necessary to make these rules. Now, in December of 91, 18 months later, Goodrich, after Torch complained about their producing a well without an allowable, contrary to the commission's rule, thinks up a new theory. We're going to redefine discovery tract. We should have gotten notice 18 months ago, even though...
But the rule doesn't say discovery tract. Is there any evidence in the record one way or the other of how the commission has historically construed tract, whether it's the discovery tract, the lease, or the pool?
Well, the rule says the tract on which the discovery well is located. There, amazingly enough, staff filed a brief in this case saying, commissioners, don't change the rule. You're going to create a lot of confusion. We've always interpreted it the way that we interpreted it in the temporary field rule hearing, in which we found that notice was proper, Goodrich was entitled to notice. And if you change that under some sort of standard of, well, the vice president of Kilroy knew that the vice president of Goodrich was out buying leases in the
what
area.
What about the argument that it was on your the institution was on file in the Harris County deed? How do you address that? Had the commission historically treated pooled tracts in terms of notice?
They knew about the pooled tract because in the order, the examiner discussed the fact that there was a pooled unit of 670 acres. So they knew about that in June of 1990. And implicit in that decision is that the pooled unit doesn't make any difference on temporary field rule notice. What is important is the discovery tract, which was a 140-acre tract, which I think is attached to the Railroad Commission's brief. It's the red area.
Ms. Johnson, enlighten a little bit. It would, in your position, it'd be your view that you had a 140-acre tract, that if the next 140-acre tract was adjacent, you'd give them notice, but you wouldn't have to give the third person down who would be in the next 140-acre tract, you would not have to give them notice because they were not touching your tract. But you have the ability to apply for temporary rules in the Railroad Commission that could prohibit that third person down by making your tract large enough from drilling without ever having to give them notice.
This court has held many times the commission does not need perfect rules. It has to have reasonable rules that apply equally to everybody.
It is your position that...
That's what the rules require.
Okay.
Now,
as a practical matter, the only people you were, under your theory, the only people you required to give notice of were people who were in your pooled unit. So you weren't... Your position was you didn't have to give notice any competitive or offsetting operators, is that correct?
Well, that was the position Kilroy took, and that was the position the commission accepted in its final order adopting temporary field rules.
But that wasn't a litigated issue, was it? In the temporary field rules?
It's a bright line test in which the information, here's the discovery tract, here are the people that are adjacent to it, giving them notice, commission takes that information, makes a fine of fact that everybody that's entitled to notice has been given notice, and that's the end of the story. And that ought to be the end of the story on this temporary.
I thought you were telling us earlier that you put on evidence of the parameters of the field, and that got whether notice was properly given or not. How does that mesh?
Well, temporary field rules require you to give the commission the names of the people that own an interest adjacent to the discovery tract. In addition, the commission also gives notice to other operators of the field. It happened that Kilroy was the only operator of the field. Permanent field rule hearing, notice is given to all the operators in the field.
Why wasn't Goodrich an operator in this field?
They didn't have a well in the field at the time of temporary field rule hearing. They were not an operator. They did not show up on the proration schedule. They had filed, using my analogy of the zoning case, it's kind of like maybe having an earnest money contract on a piece of property, but not really being there yet. They had a permit on file. The permit had not been granted.
So you didn't put on, let me get this clear, did you put on evidence or not in the temporary field rule hearing as the boundaries of the field?
No, we don't know that the boundaries of the field in the temporary field rule hearing.
So what did your argument have reference to while ago in explaining that? What relevance does that have to anything?
Okay. The relevancy is the commission's got to establish some sort of boundary as to who gets notice. And it may be that this field could be 10 miles long, but we don't know that at the time of the temporary field rule hearing. It requires further development of drilling additional wells in order to find what the boundaries of the field are. When you drill your discovery well, seek temporary field rules, you may not know what the structural configuration field is, and therefore it would be impossible to give notice to everyone who may eventually be affected by getting a well in the field. And that's the danger of the commission's order, is that someone 5 years from now said, if temporary field rule is in effect, said, you know, we're affected, we didn't get notice. You should have known about us. We had a big lease position. You need to go do research. How far is that? A county? Two counties over? You know, the commission has changed the interpretation of the rule from a bright line test to an amorphous, whatever you feel is appropriate test, which creates a lot of uncertainty.
If the test is limited to the unit that you have on file in Harris County, the pooled unit, is that an amorphous test?
Well, that's not the rule. That may be an appropriate rule for the commission to have.
If tract is defined as pooled acreage, pooled unit, is that an amorphous test?
That may not be an amorphous test. That would be a change in the rule. And if the commission, perhaps the commission can have a rule saying you need to give notice to everybody adjacent to any interest you own in the field, that would be a different rule. That would be a rule that would expand the notice to everyone that's adjacent to, rather than just adjacent to your discovery tract. That might be a better rule, and maybe the commission ought to adopt that rule. That's not the rule that's been in effect for decades.
Conversely, how does Goodrich know that they're in the field that has been the temporary field rule applied to?
They believe that they're going to drill that field. You notice it also says wild. Usually put on there. That means we're headed for the boundary field. We see that there's a well out there that's completed in that field. We want to drill that field, and that's what we think the field will look in there. In addition, we may discover a new field. We may discover a new pocket of gas, and therefore we want a permit for that also. We're going to call it wild gas. And if we find a new pocket of gas that's not the Bamble North field, then we'll file for a new field discovery and get a permit for that field.
Does the commission have any obligation to point out when somebody applies for a permit to drill a well that the field is already subject to temporary rules?
Yeah, I think if you make inquiry to the commission, they will tell you. Or you can look
at and I understand your contention is Goodrich should have found this gas proration schedule, which would have told it that the field was subject to temporary rules, but I'm asking now whether if the commission receives an application which indicates a density pattern of 40 acres, is it under, what's Goodrich supposed to do when in fact the field, which you get an application, looks like it's after the statewide rules applicable, but it actually has a temporary rule, what's the commission supposed to do?
Well, the Gillespie case says that a staff person of a commission cannot change the field rules by its own mistake. So if the staff person that wrote granted on this permit made a mistake because they thought that Goodrich knew what they were doing and filed a correct application, if they made a mistake, that mistake cannot change the grill of Bryson's Torch or any other operating field and let that operator have a permit on the mistaken basis that it was under statewide rules as opposed to temporary fields.
So the Railroad Commission, your contention, has issued an illegal drilling permit?
Yes, sir.
I have one quick question. Under Rule 37, what's the Commission's normal practice when someone makes an application under Rule 37? Do they make explicit findings about waste and construction?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Your Honor. That is a fundamental requirement of Rule 37. And that's why this case is so unusual.
Do they expressly make it in every case in writing, or do they just say we grant the Rule 37 application? What's the practice?
Practice is they make findings regarding waste and prevention of frail rights in nearly every case that they have. This is an unusual situation where they didn't do so. I don't know why. Maybe because they couldn't make those findings. But that is the basis of the Commission's decision in most every case. I can't think of any exceptions. And the Commission concedes that in their brief. And what they're telling the court is, well, just assume that they've made that finding in every case, when in fact they have made no express findings. It doesn't require a hyper-technical review to understand that the Commission has failed to do what they need to do in writing an appropriate order.
Any other questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ken.
Counsel, what's wrong with the Court of Appeals' opinion remanding this to the Commission if you're correct that by doing what it did, the Railroad Commission has already, by implication, found that this satisfies the statutory criteria?
Because the Commission would be required to make express findings of fact and conclusions of law on waste, on confiscation, on a regular well. The Commission determined the well to be regular. That's clearly within its statutory authority. The Commission determined this well to be a regular well, and it should not be required to make express findings of fact or conclusions of law on waste or confiscation.
What's wrong with making something explicit that you says is our you say it's already implicit?
I don't think there's anything wrong with requiring the Commission to say it's based on prevention of waste and confiscation as a general principle. But if Goodrich is required to put on evidence of waste and confiscation as it relates to the Holden well, then Goodrich is essentially being required to obtain a Rule 37 exception, and that's unfair to Goodrich because the Commission found that the temporary field rules were not applicable to Goodrich. It drilled a regular well, and it should not be required to have to show waste and confiscation. If by some chance Goodrich cannot show waste and confiscation and is being essentially required to get a Rule 37 exception, it will be denied its opportunity to produce the Holden well and denied its correlative rights.
Would you say they're entitled to do even if they can't meet the statutory criteria based on the absence of notice?
Yes. And I think also, Your Honor, that the Commission, it's true the Commission rarely issues an order based that doesn't have express findings on waste or confiscation, but I think this particular case shows that the Commission should have that authority to do it because of the lack of notice. It's a due process concept that's spoken to in the Grayford case. The Commission has to look at materially affected parties.
How do you answer the argument that the Commission has found that all necessary parties were given notice?
That at the time the Commission made that finding in the temporary field rule hearing, it did not know that Goodrich did not have notice. There was no person at that hearing to say there is someone out there that did not have notice. The Commission is not attacking the temporary field rules in existence. It is simply finding that those rules are not applicable to Goodrich due to the lack of notice.
Ms. Humanek, if I understand Ms. Johnson's, one of his points, was notice given to all the adjacent tract owners, interested people in that first hearing? Was notice in fact given to all the people that tracts abutted the discovery tract?
The Commission did make that finding, and Your Honor, in Appendix A, the Commission submitted the map that was Exhibit 10.
This red small unit is the tract on which the discovery well was initially drilled. The orange unit is the pooled unit that was formed by Kilroy Oil Company. So in this situation, when it applied for temporary field rule, because its original unit was within the entire pooled unit, it would only have to give notice to its own adjacent people within its own pooled unit. So to that extent, that is the type of notice, that is the notice that Kilroy would be giving under its interpretation of Statewide Rule 43.
And it has been the Railroad Commission's position that notice goes to people who are adjacent to pooled units. That's what that means.
The commissioners themselves have never had to address this question. When they were faced with the opportunity to look at Statewide Rule 43, they determined that Goodrich fell under Statewide Rule 43 as a basis upon which they were entitled to notice. The P-12 that the commission uses, and that's in the record because there was a P-12 submitted initially by Kilroy Oil Company, at the last line of paragraph 1 says the pooled unit is considered as one base tract as if all rights with respect thereto had been acquired under a single contract. That is the use of the word tract. That same word tract appears in Statewide Rule 43, so Kilroy should have provided notice to Goodrich of the application for temporary field rule. Additionally, the commission also was persuaded by the actual notice that Kilroy had of the competitive position in the field. The commission looked at a due process concept and said this operator was entitled to notice, did not get notice, and was substantially prejudiced by that lack of notice.
Why isn't the gas proration schedule, which Mr. Johnson says that Goodrich should have discovered, constructive notice?
Because that gas proration schedule is not provided free of charge to everyone within the entire state. It is something that, as a matter of fact, Goodrich should have looked at. But the commission looked at the constructive notice argument, and I think they balanced it with other evidence. They balanced it with the evidence that Goodrich twice applied for a regular permit and twice received a regular permit, and based on that permit, proceeded to drill a well just under $1 million.
Can a citizen go over to the Railroad Commission and gain access to gas proration schedules?
Without a doubt. Your Honor.
Like deed records?
Yes. It can be. They can go talk to the actual proration analyst for that field, and that proration analyst will discuss that schedule with them.
Was the employee of the commission in error in granting this permit? Because those rules did not apply?
Yes. The commission staff was in error in granting that regular permit. However, there is a case, and I don't think it's cited in any of the briefs, but the F.A. Gillespie case that the commission looks to, it holds that the commission is bound by its own rules even when its staff makes a mistake. So that fact was not persuasive to the commission.
Any other questions? Thank you. And that concludes the argument in the third clause. The court will take one final recess and then return. Please wait to hear the final call.
The audience will please rise.